And we are so blessed to be in his presence. So many good things going on here. Today, this morning, I think we baptized five. And tonight, another, and several got the Holy Ghost tonight and this morning. And this is so rare and wonderful and sweet. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just to be in his presence. Just to know him and walk with him. Praise God. Adam walked with him. But when we are finished, our walk with God is going to be infinitely closer than Adam's walk. You just have to understand that Adam was the beginning of this. But Adam wasn't complete. And the fall was necessary. And the redemptive process is necessary. But at the end of the redemptive process and at the end of the threshing floor experience, there won't be anybody in heaven but people who woke up every day and said, I'm living for God today. And they picked them up and they put them down and they made decisions and they said yes to God. And on the other side, there won't be anybody there that is surprised that they made it. There won't be anybody that says, oh, that was close. But you've been doing this. And you've been making decisions based on your devotion for him. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to read again tonight. We've been reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It is a salutation from Paul to the church at Thessalonica. And in it, he's giving them several things in a list that are integral to continuing the community and the culture of God's kingdom. And as we look at that, and as we extrapolate strength and understanding from that, and as we engage in that, then we also create the community of the kingdom of God, the culture of the kingdom of God, because culture and community rise up out of theology. Whatever you have distorted, no real theological underpinnings, that determines your culture. And enjoying the benefits of that culture is something that we are very, very interested in. I love the church and I love what God is doing. And I love the benefits of being a part of his kingdom. Can you say amen? So as we do these things, then we bring to pass the community and the culture of God, and we enjoy the benefits of that. Where we're hung up right now is on verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. And everyone say, pray without ceasing. We've looked at some things before, some things after. I have done review this morning. We worked on this last Sunday. I'm not going to spend much time in review tonight, but we'll just use that as our text. Pray without ceasing. Paul is transmitting culture by knowledge. He's transmitting to a Hellenistic city, to people that have been raised up under Grecian and now Roman rule. They are pagans. There's temple prostitution. There's no fidelity in their marriages. They have an entirely different social construct than the Jews, and surely different than the kingdom of God in the church. And so Paul's trying to transmit culture to them by the knowledge of the word of God. And if he can get traction there and give them this new knowledge and information about the kingdom, then he can shift their culture. You can shift your culture by coming into contact with the culture of the knowledge of God. And you can change your personal life, your personal culture, your family culture, and you can change the culture of a church. I think that if we get strong enough and loud enough and we are anointed enough, we can change the culture in a city. I really believe that. I believe you can change the culture in your high school. We've got a high schooler that just received the Holy Ghost right here tonight. And we got another one going to be baptized after the service tonight. And Xavier has been bringing a lot of his friends, and they're starting up a Bible study here right quick. And another young man from Tarrant came this morning on the van with Michaela and Caleb, and he got baptized in Jesus' name. And he's there at Tarrant with Xavier and these other guys. I believe that there can be a shift in the culture of a high school. I really do. Well, praise God. So we can affect change in our personal culture and in our culture at large by applying these concepts. And now we're working on the idea that God's culture is infused with prayer. Pray without ceasing. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word and you love what he's doing, give him praise and thanks for it tonight. Mighty God, we love you. We bless your name and we thank you for your word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you for the privilege of using your word and handling it tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. So where we are now, we've begun the discussion of prayer and prayer without ceasing, and the idea that prayer is walking up and down in the promises of God. It is exercising the relationship, becoming intimate with God. You cannot know God, nor can you be intimate with God without developing a life of prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God and developing relationship with God. So those are the themes that we've been handling here, and I feel the need to go back and touch those, but for the sake of the time tonight, I won't do it. But simply this, where we are right now, we are moving into chapter 11 of Luke, where Jesus teaches prayer, because prayer is a skill set. Prayer is learned. Prayer is taught. Like any other skill set of value in your life. I want you to know tonight, I don't know what you do for vocation. I don't know what your skill sets are, but I will tell you that you are, in terms of spirit, you are woefully ill-prepared to grow and to be effective and to actualize spiritually without a life of prayer, because prayer is the primary venue. Prayer is the thing that opens the portal. Prayer brings you into the presence of God. Praise God. And so Jesus teaches prayer. In Luke 11, it begins with one of his disciples said, Lord, after he had finished praying in a certain place, the disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And so Jesus is teaching prayer, and he's teaching it by first giving them, in the 11th chapter of Luke, the Lord's Prayer, which is a model, a framing for prayer, not to be rote, memorized and repeated, but it is a pattern for prayer to tell you how to frame your prayer life. And then the second stage of that teaching is about persistence in prayer, the man who has company at midnight, and we'll go there tonight. And then the third stage of Luke 11 about instruction in prayer is about seeking the Holy Ghost. And so they are being taught by Jesus how to pray. Now, prayer is repetitive, and prayer memorializes. Prayer builds a memorial to the important things of God. Prayer is a place where you handle these things over and over, and the impression in your mind and in your spirit gets deeper and deeper, and you craft an identity. The things you do repetitively are who you are. It frames your identity. That's who you are. You may want to be something else, and you may think that you're something else, but you're deluded if you don't understand you are what you do. If you lie, you're a liar. If you steal, you're a thief. If you're duplicitous, you're not a good friend. You are what you do. And so as we handle precious things in prayer, we memorialize the things of God. We make the impression deeper, and we craft an identity for ourselves in the kingdom of God. We also walk up and down in Abraham's promise from God. God told Abraham, now walk up and down in the land that I've given you. And every place you go, I'm going to give that to you. And prayer is like that. We are walking up and down in the things of God. In prayer, we handle the things of God. We talk about those things. We revisit those things. And God breathes into our spirit new information and new insights. And we hold up the things of God to the light. And we turn it like a prism. And it becomes new to us all over again. And we get new insights and greater clarity. And by it, we define our lives. We define our lives by prayer. We habituate the things of God by prayer. We routinize them, or we make them something that we are doing every day, something we do just by our nature. We build strongholds, but not negative, scary, demonic strongholds like the world builds. We build positive, godly, anointed strongholds by handling the things of God over and over and over again. And we've been walking through some of those. The concept, our Father who art in the heaven, you touch three major concepts right there. The fact that you are a part of the body of Christ. Aren't you glad to be a part of the church tonight? You can't do business with God and not do business with His church. You can't do business with God and not be a part of His church. Now, I can't mind that anymore. We worked on it here already. I have to move on. And he said, our Father. And so we are a part of a corporate group, a body of Christ. And he is our Father. And it won't do that you're going to come and sit on the back. And I don't mean that against you guys that are against the back wall tonight. I mean in your mentality and in your thinking, you're not engaged in the house of God. You think, well, maybe I'll just be a servant. Maybe I'll just, and that's what the prodigal son said when he came up out of the mud and out of the pig pen. He said, well, I'll just be a servant. But you can't be a servant. God doesn't have anything but sons and daughters. And he wants you to come on and take ownership of this and get the load on your shoulder and become a responsible part of the kingdom of God tonight. Our Father who art in the heavens. And all of these things are freighted. They are weighted with powerful concept. And it's such a short prayer, but it gives you the essence of the kingdom of God in an individual's life. Our Father who art in heaven. And he taps the theology of looking up, not looking down, not looking in dejection, not looking at what's going on in your world or the people with failures and problems all around you. People get mired down in that. Oh, I don't go to church because people, or I can't do this because of people, or I can't be because of people. You will never achieve what God has for you until you get your eyes up and begin to look up into the heavens from which cometh your help. Your help comes from God. You got to learn. God loves. Look. All these people you're finding fault with, you're going to the wrong person if you want to talk to God about them. He died for every last one of them, for God so loved the world. Now get over it and get about the business of living for God. So looking back and hung up in your problems and in your past tragedies, I pay homage here. Do homage to the trauma and the problem and the hurt and the disasters of your past. But if you're anchored to them, you never will break free and be able to serve God and actualize the things of God. So you can't live for God looking back, and your prayer can't be oriented to what's behind you, and your prayer can't be oriented to what's rooted to this earth, and your prayer can't be oriented to all the failing people around you. But you got to pry your vision up. Now, this is not just for prayer. This is rudimentary to living for God at any level of success at all. You've got to get your eyes up out of this world and off the people and on to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody say praise the Lord. So that's the first three words of the prayer, and so that's why we're hung up here. Our Father which art in the heavens. This morning we started working on the idea of hallowed be thy name, and talking about praise and prayer. Praise in your prayer. You enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so in your prayer life, you need to have a deep season of thankfulness and praise and worship. And I was relating to the church this morning that I just kind of start back in the Old Testament. I thank God for some of the major components that he's given us in the Word of God that define our relationship with him. And then I start moving through, and I can see the characters of the Old Testament as I'm walking through those principles. principles and those ideas. I won't recreate that again tonight. I'm just sharing that's how I do this. But I want you to know something tonight. There are many people that have a touch of God in their life. There are a lot of people upon whom God has laid his hand. There is a group in Matthew chapter 7 that say, Lord, Lord, we've cast out devils in your name. We've prophesied in your name. And in your name, we've done many mighty works. And he said, shockingly, amazingly, he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was a pagan king that God laid his hand on you. For God to have his hand on you can be a powerful thing, but it is not a defining thing necessarily. But I want you to hear something. David said, your word said, your spirit said, seek my face and thy face will I seek, O God. Prayer is seeking the face of God. Effective prayer is seeking the face of God. Not a thing, not prayer to get a bill paid, not prayer to have a relationship healed, not prayer to seek for something here. Come on, you're still looking here. You're still looking around. You got to look up higher than that. But prayer is in its essence and purest form is simply seeking relationship with God. Now, when that happens, there are associated benefits and there are blessings, because you can't get in the presence of God without experiencing blessings. But if the blessing becomes the primary thing in your focus, you are still rooted in the carnal and you are not excelling in the spirit. And the hue and cry of the fallen Christian world around us is that you should seek your blessing, and they're mired up in seeking after natural things and using God to leverage all of those things in their life. That's not the will of God for you. I want you to hear Exodus 33, beginning in verse 9. It came to pass as Moses entered the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and up and worshiped, and every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake to Moses, everyone say face to face. The Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. That has to be the guiding motive for your prayer. I want to get close to you. I've got stuff to do. I've got stuff I need. I've got things I need you to do for me. But remember what he starts with in, when he says, pray like this. Our Father who art in the heavens. You're disassociating from all of the clutter and all the noise and all the people and all the other stuff. You are standing as a part of his church, his prize in the earth. You're claiming him as your father, and you're looking up into the heavens, and you're seeking to know him face to face as a man speaketh to a friend. Praise God. And then in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 5, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, speak to him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth or face to face, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And finally, at his death in Deuteronomy 34, it is said of Moses, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. It is something we should seek for. I'm not quite sure. It's like everything else in God. There is a progression. There is a growth. There is a seeking after. But that needs to be my goal. I want to spend time with you. I got stuff I need you to do for me, God, but I'm not bringing that up right now. I just want to get close to you. I've got things and people and situations, and we're going to take care of those. When he builds the Lord's Prayer for you, you're going to take care of praying for your daily bread, but that's way down at the end. You're going to take care of your sin, but that's way down at your end. At the end, the first thing you're doing is reconnecting in that relationship, walking with him, talking with him, knowing him face to face. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. What a good God. Anybody want to know him here face to face? Anybody feel a compelling drive tonight to get closer to God, to know him better? I just want to tell you this. If you will just forget about all the stuff, and I know it's important stuff, but if you'll just make him your focus and make him your goal, make that relationship the most important thing that you're seeking after. If you can accomplish that, God will take care of all of that. Now, I just said in a long presentation what he said in simple words. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added unto you. I know you're troubled, but get in his presence. I know you've got a problem, but get in his presence. I know you've got an enemy, but bring it into his presence. I know you have needs, but bring them into his presence. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so where we are now in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We enter in praise and worship and we magnify him. And I thank him for a multitude of things. And that's just the way I frame it. You'll frame it your own way, but you need to use this prayer as a framing. The next portion of this is thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. David, when he's praying to God about this, he says in 1 Chronicles 17, 16, and David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, you see how he does it? He came and sat before the Lord. He just came right into the presence of God. And it's a personal encounter. He sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. And in your prayer, you need to pray the word of God, what God has said, the promise of God. You need to lift that up before him and remind him of it. It's not that God needs reminding, it's that you need to utilize the word of God, just like you used the word of God to defeat the devil. For example, the young men in 1 John chapter 2 are strong because the word of God abides in them and they have overcome the wicked one. And David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. So, and Jesus in the wilderness uses the word of God to overcome the tempter in the wilderness. And so we understand the word of God is what we utilize to overcome the devil. The word of God is also what you utilize as you go into prayer. If you don't know what to pray for, you pray the word of God. You lift it up and say, now God, this is not my idea, this is your idea. And you see how humble David is? He said, I can't understand why you've made all these great promises about me. I know this is not about me. And so I'm not proclaiming this out of my strength or out of my ego, but I am bringing it up because you said it, oh God. Now, I want you to know this. Every area of your life in which you need help, you need the hand of God, you need God to move, you need God to provide, there is a word already established in the heavens. And instead of whining and moaning and explaining to God what he needs to do, you need to find that gold in the word of God, which is a promise that's suited to your need, and lift it up before the Lord and just say, Lord, you know I'm not worthy. You know I'm not worthy. This is not about me, but look what you said in your word. And God is true to his word, and God will never turn away from what he's established and what he has said in his word. Mary didn't understand it, and Mary was a little bit shocked by the whole process. But when the angel Gabriel left, Mary said, and behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Praise God. Somebody say that right now. Be it unto me according to thy word. Praise God. Now, some of you are not saying that because you got some unresolved sin in your life. And you know that the word of God has promised a curse because of that behavior. And you're not saying, be it unto me according to that. See, without repentance and cleanliness and righteousness in your life, you can't do anything. Your life is all cluttered up. Your prayer's cluttered up. You can't live a spiritually duplicitous life and pray an effective prayer. You can't do this. You're going to do this. You got to do it all the way. You got to do it right. And you got to do it with purpose and intent tonight. For you to walk in prayer and do business with God, you have to be able to say, God, do to me as your word has said. You're not going to do that with much conviction if you got ongoing sin in your life. Well, praise God. Praise God. Because God's word said that he killed Ananias and Sapphira for not paying their tithe. They withheld from God. And the word of God said that he would curse you if you didn't obey his word. And the list of curses, you can get the whole roster out of Deuteronomy 28. It's amazing. The curses in Deuteronomy 28 are so astounding and amazing that I'm about 3/4 of the way through and I just break up laughing. It's all you can do. It's just, he's going to put a botch on them. You understand what I'm saying? There's nobody that curses like God does. It's incredible. And at the end of it all, they're standing on a slave block, and that's terrible and humiliating and awful, and then nobody will buy them. You're going to be on a slave. You can just see God. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to put you, you're going to be sold as slaves, and nobody will buy you. Where do you go then? So I can understand your reticence to pray that God would have his way with you according to his word if you are not living according to the word of God. You see how all these primary themes converge and become one, and they are tethered together. And you can't part-time this, and you can't go through and have some of this and not all of this. It's all connected together. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. So thy kingdom come. And when I'm praying thy kingdom come, I start with Isaiah 9 and 7. That declares that of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And so his government and peace always increases. The kingdom of God was designed to increase. It increases in me. It increases in you as his people. It increases in the church, in your children. It's the will of God in your ministries, in your Bible studies. The nature of the kingdom is to increase. And so the word of God has said it. And so I lift that up before him. And I say, God, thy kingdom come. Now it's the nature of your kingdom to increase. So I start back where I start in a lot of my prayer. I start back at the central character, which becomes me in my prayer, the circles, the concentric circles that radiate out in your life. The first level, God, increase in my life, and increase in my wife, and increase in my children, and increase in this church and in the ministries of this church, and grow and expand, and let it be according to your word, oh God. And what does the kingdom of God come as? It comes as joy and peace and righteousness. Well, then increase, oh God. Your word says that it's joy. Increase in us in joy. Increase in us in righteousness. Increase in us in peace. Increase, oh God, in all the things you value. Righteousness and holiness and the anointing of God, and men and women receiving the Holy Ghost, and people being baptized in Jesus' name. And just let that happen more and more, oh God. And if we're turning the corner on a service day, it's God, let's in the service tonight, let people be drawn. Let them come. Let them receive the Holy Ghost. Let them be baptized in Jesus' name. Increase in our babies and in our young people. Increase in us in the word of God. Increase in us in knowledge and understanding and wisdom, that we can build the house and establish it and fill it full of precious things. And so you see how you hook up to this framing, and it takes you, and it's amazing that someone has said, I don't have anything to say. I don't know how you pray an hour. And my response is, I don't understand how you can get it all done in an hour. And don't misunderstand me. There's nothing that legislates you to praying an hour a day. David prayed 7 times a day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. You're going to make your own prayer life. You're going to craft your own association with God. But he's got to be your best friend. You hear me now. Your husband, your wife can kick the bucket. They can leave on you. But God's going to be there with you. You got to draw close to God. He's got to be your best friend. And your best friend you want to talk to all the time. You want to tell him about your victories. You want to tell him about your defeats. You want to tell him about your worries. You want to tell him about everything that's going on in your life. Well, praise God. You'd spend more time with him, some of you, though, if he had a Facebook account. Wonder what Jesus is doing. And you get that distant glare and you start drooling. And an hour passes by and you have achieved and accomplished absolutely nothing. You've just wandered around mindlessly drooling and wasting your time. I'm not against social media. I'm against people wasting their time when we have so little of it, and time is life. Praise God. What are you spending your life on? And after you get up from there, beside being amused and entertained for a minute or two, what have you accomplished? But if you would take that amount of time every day, some of you that play your gamers or your Facebookers or your whatever you're doing there with social media, if you would take that time and spend it drawing close to God, who would you be in 2015? Who could you be in 2015 when the kingdom of God starts increasing in your life and the King of Kings starts walking into your house and God tells the angels, that's my friend down there. Let's go do something really powerful in his or her life. My God, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom. I pray, God, your kingdom come. Your word said the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea. You know, the word of God tells me it's like a river of living water. It's like a well springing up into everlasting life. And so I take off on a tear on that. God, spring up a well. It was the song they sang in the wilderness with Moses. Spring up a well. It's a simple song. Spring up a well. And we understand it's the well spring of the Holy Ghost. And I start that in my prayer. Spring up, oh God, in my life and in my children, my wife. Spring up in this church family. Every Bible study today, if it's a Tuesday or a Thursday, God, there's Bible studies today. Let the kingdom of God spring up like a river of living water. Let it break forth like a well springing up into everlasting life. Somebody's going to the hospital today to pray. Somebody's witnessing to a friend at school. Spring up, oh well, in every school and on every job and in every place your people go. Let them be light and salt. You see how it is. You see how it is. You hit the vein and you take off praying that the kingdom of God would increase. And he says it's like a net cast into the sea. Jesus said that. And so I say, God, let it be like the day you stood with Peter and you stood on his boat and you drew from every corner of that sea and you astonished him to the place where he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. My daily prayer is, God, fill the net today. Fill the net, oh God, of the van. I praise God there were some baptized off the van today. Fill the net of the buses, oh God. The buses are getting crowded, and there were several baptized off the buses today. We were about to shut down, and a little 10-year-old girl walked in, and she stood at the door of the office, and you know how informal that office is. But she can't tell that because she's new to this, and it looks a little imposing and everything. All these adults are in there. She's 10 years old. She just took a breath, and she walked right up. Dawson was sitting at one of the desks, and she said, I want to be baptized. I'd like to be baptized today. Took a lot of courage just to come in that door and talk to these people that she didn't know. But something had gotten a hold of her. She's who I'm praying for. God, draw the fishes. God, draw them into the net of the bus. Draw them into the net of the Bible study. Draw them into the services, oh God. Let every team have a net filled up. Let every ministry have a net filled up. Fill up the Spanish service, almighty God. Draw by your spirit from Hayden to Pelham, from McCalla to Moody, from Springville to Hoover, from Pell City, God, from North Birmingham and West Birmingham. I don't care. All kinds of fish, whatever they look like, what their ethnicity, it doesn't matter. Draw, oh God. Because your word says, it's like a net cast into the sea. And you drew for Peter. Lord, I know you're not a respecter of persons. Draw in this. I know this is the will of God. And I'm praying the will of God. When you pray, thy will be done, you can't be praying your will. Let me just take one moment and tell you that it is possible that your prayer is an exercise in the projection of your will. And you spend your entire season of prayer projecting your will instead of His will. My wife asked a question years ago. And she said, talking about a specific individual, how can somebody pray that much and be so wicked? Now that's a good question. And she's asking that question of God. And a prophet was here. And the prophet said, she's praying her own will. And I put two and two together, and it's more like sorcery than living for God. It's like casting spells. It's a human spirit that is projecting its own will, and it masquerades as prayer and as piety. You're real quiet. Real quiet. But see, isn't that the nature of the ego and the flesh? This is what I want. It's obviously what God wants. This is what I need. I know God wants to do. But what happened to, I lay all at the altar. I belong to you. You do what you want to do, oh God. I'm praying your will be done. Now, it's fair and it's okay to say, now, God, this is what I would like. But you have to, because we have the example of that. Gethsemane is the example of that. If it be possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so prayer has to be framed up in your pursuit of his will and his design and his purpose and his plan. Not that he would lay his hand on what you're doing, but that you would be doing what he's laying his hand on. Not the pursuit of your will. But I know when I'm praying, fill the net, I'm right up in the middle of the will of God. And when I'm praying, draw all kinds of fish, I'm in the middle of what he said. And I lift up what he said before him. You said it was like a net. And you said it would be all kinds of fish. And you said you'd make us fishers of men. And you filled Peter's net up to the breaking. And I know you're not talking about walleye and bass and brim and sackalay. You don't know what sackalay is. Here you call them crappie. But that's not a crappie, that's a sackalay. I digress. All kinds of fish. Brother Ronnie, I don't care if they're Hindu. I don't care if they're Muslim. I don't care what they are. I don't care if they're brown or red or green or... it doesn't matter what they are. All kinds of fish. Just draw them, oh God, draw them. And you know what? I noticed last week, this is a season right here. God drew fish last Sunday morning. We had people baptized. We had new families all over the church. Brother Cliff picked up 3 Bible studies last Sunday morning. You ought to clap your hands and praise God over that. Well, praise God. We had 2 of those families back in service this morning. And a lady that's been coming for months got baptized last Sunday morning. She brought her husband this morning. Praise God, a little bus girl been at her mama and daddy to come to church. And this morning, they were sitting right back there where T's sitting right now. And mama and daddy, mama told me she'd been bugging me to come see this church. Come go to church with me. But what we're praying is, God, draw them. God, speak to them. God, draw them. Fill the net, mighty God. Fill the net, mighty God. Fill the net. There's a Cornelius in this city. There's somebody that's praying. They're doing everything they know to do, but they don't know the apostolic truth. And I know God loves Cornelius because Acts 10 says he sent an angel to him and said, Cornelius, God's taking notice of you, and he's about to bring you the gospel. I know there's a Cornelius, and God knows where he is or where she is. And I just come to him every day and say, God, you know where Cornelius is. Bring him, God. Draw him to the net, oh God. Help us to find them. You sent an angel to Cornelius, and you sent a trance and a vision to Peter, and you brought them together supernaturally. Bring us together with the hungry and the thirsty of this city. Bring us together supernaturally. Somebody loose your spirit right now and pray. Somebody loose your voice right now and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bring them, God. Fill the net, mighty God. Draw them, oh God. Ah, there's a eunuch in this city. Somebody reading the Bible and they don't understand it. Help us to find them, Lord God. You took Philip to the middle of a desert to find the eunuch. Take us there. Help us to find them. Fill the net, mighty God. There's a Larry Booker in this city. A big old long-legged, long-haired hippie going to bed every night hugging a big family hippie Jesus Bible. Praying and feeling the presence of God and not knowing what in the world to do with it all. But God brought him to apostolic truth. There's a Gary Ellis in this city. Gary Ellis walked in the middle of a church. He didn't know what kind of church it was. He walked in that church. He stood up while the guy was preaching and said, hey, my name's Gary Ellis, and I'd like to be saved. There's a Gary Ellis in this city. I want him to walk in, and I want him to interrupt us. I want him to walk in tonight and say, hey, my name's whatever. And he begins to say, I'd like to be saved. I want to have what God has for me. There's a Sam Emery in this city somewhere. There's a Tom Bracken and a John Wolfram. Those guys are missionaries, and they were Navy SEALs, and they did two tours in Vietnam. And Wolfram was ready to blow his brains out on a street in Saigon, but the Holy Ghost said, don't, I've got something for you. And he went back to the States, and he's there in the San Diego area, and he's looking for God, and he can't find him, and he finds a little tiny pitiful cheap advertisement in a little off base publication, and he cuts it out, and it's a revival advertisement, and he lays it on his desk, and he goes out for something. He comes back in, and somebody's cleaned up the room, and he can't find it, and he's outside in the alley digging through the dumpster until he finds that little tiny piece of paper. And it leads him to an apostolic church. And when he finds the apostolic church, he goes and gets the Holy Ghost and gets baptized in Jesus' name. And then six out of his SEAL team, six SEALs come and they get the Holy Ghost and they get baptized in Jesus' name. There's a John Wolfram in this city. God, draw him. You know him. You see him. You hear his cry. You know his soul. Draw him, oh God, into the net. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There's a great church in New Orleans tonight. It's the daughter work of old Brother Cupid's on Dirgenwatt Street. And people there were passing out tracts. And somebody got a tract and didn't want it, and they crumpled it up and they threw it in the gutter. And a drunk by the name of Danny Brown found that track and read it and believed it and stumbled into that church on Dirgenwatt in New Orleans. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost and transformed his life. The first time I saw Danny Brown, he was singing at the campground at Tioga in Louisiana. And he was singing, I have hope when trouble comes my way. I have hope, oh yes, since Jesus has come to stay, I have hope, oh yes. Even when things are not well with me, I have hope. It's a beautiful hope, and it sets me free. And I thought, man, that guy's full of the Holy Ghost and full of ministry. He went out of that church on Dirgin Wall and built what is known as the Outreach Center. And the Outreach Center turned out to be 4 or 5 times larger than the mama church right there. It was a crumpled up tract, but it wasn't just that. It was the hand of God leading a saint to hand out a tract, and leading a carnal heart to cast it away, and leading a drunk to find it in the gutter. And God directs our paths, and God orders our steps, and God draws them like the fish that day in Galilee into the net. And I pray in the will of God and by the template that God gave us, fill the net, oh God, with all kinds of fish. And then I pray, give us strength enough and sense enough. Help us, oh God, in all of our teams. And I've talked to you about this last Sunday night. In your team and in your ministry activity, make sure your nets are clean. Make sure your nets are mended. Make sure your boat is seaworthy. Make sure the framing for your ministry is as good as it can be. It will never be perfect and will always grow in every ministry. But you don't know what God's about to send. We were 416 in the house today, and we're moving, and it's moving. I would say it's trending. And these are fish. These are fish in the net. And these are people God wants to change, and God wants to fill, and God wants to use. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. So I pray, God, fill the net of the bus. Fill the net of the Agape girls. Fill the net of In His Image. Fill the net of the youth gathering every Friday night, oh God. Fill the net of every service, every Bible study, all of these classes, oh God. Let them all be a net, and let them be bulging at the seams. Let them, God, be filled up with people that want to come and hear the good word of God. Now, I'm praying right in the middle of the will of God, something He said and something He framed, and I'm just stepping into it, and it's got anointing and it's got power because of the fact He said it. Well, praise God. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want you to pray a simple prayer right now. I want you to pray that God would make you effective in the harvest, and God would cause you to be a blessing to His people. Would you pray that right now? God, help me to be effective. Help me to be a soul winner. Help me to be strong enough and wise enough to get the net into the boat. Help me to be a blessing, oh God, to your people. Help me, God. Give me wisdom and understanding and knowledge and an anointing in my life. Help me, mighty God, to be a part of your kingdom and to walk in your word and to walk in your will. That's all we want, oh God. We want to walk in your word and walk in your will. Direct my path, oh God. Order my steps. These are prayers you can pray, because these are prayers right up in the heartland of the will of God and the word of God. Praise God. Lindsay, I'm about to quit. Just come and help us a little bit. Praise God. Lay your hand on somebody near you there, and I want you to pray that for them, that they would be effective and that they would be a blessing, and that they would walk in the fullness of God's calling, and that they would be overrunning with the Holy Ghost, and that the Spirit of God would be in them a well springing up into everlasting life, and that they would be a river of living water, and that they would be light and salt, and that God would open a door of favor for them, and that God would cause them to be an anointed witness in a city that needs God. Pray for them, and after you're done praying for them, talk in tongues a little bit over them, and let the Holy Ghost pray a prayer for them. Ha! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. All you men back there, lay your hands on Brother Cliff. Pray for those Bible studies. Pray for those new ones. Pray that God give him everything he needs. Pray that God would fill his net filled with all kinds of fish. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we want to walk in your word. God, we want to walk in your will. God. God, we want to know you face to face. God, we want you to be pleased. Not my way, your way. Not my will, your will. Not my word, but your word, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, we're about to move into a free form here for a moment or two. I just feel a loosing of the Holy Ghost in the house right now. You just need to find what God is talking to you about and doing in you right now, and you need to press into that in prayer. God, have your way. Work your will in me, oh Lord. God, have your way. God, we want to sing your song. We want to talk about your story. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. When you do this, when you lay hold of this, all of the other things are going to be added to you. Forget about your problem. Forget about your need. When you press into where he is, he's going to take care of everything else. Have your way, oh God. Have your way. Oh. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Oh, on earth as it is in heaven. Oh,
sing. Make me a house of prayer.
Come on, there's an upsurge of anointing in this house. God, mighty God.
Make me a house of prayer.
Let healing flow in these hands, oh God.
A house of prayer. Lord, make me a house.
Make
me a house of prayer. I want to seek your face.
No, I'm serious. Do what the Holy Ghost is leading you in right now. God's gonna give a vision right now. God's gonna loose vision right now. He's gonna show you who and where and what.
Fire on my altar, never burn out.
Hey.
Fire on my altar, never burn out.
Make me a house of prayer. Draw close to him. Everything else gets clear. Everything else falls in line.
Pray.
vision. Press into calling. You may want to pray for somebody else. But everybody needs to be digging in. Everybody needs to be pressing in. When you seek his face, the healing breaks forth. When you seek his face, all the things that we need are in the storehouse of God, and we get in the door in seeking his face and in prayer.